I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
About who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. Do you think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, do you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time because it's actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Rothbard,
this is how we get our country back. We need accountability because this media rigged the 2016 election. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're going to rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Well, I got to admit, he went right for the jugular on that case. And yes, you're also correct that I'm pushing past major legitimate issues addressed in last night's debate, but still going for the fiery rhetoric. This is not a completely off the record concern. The media control of information, as I've often labeled them, state-controlled media. That's what Vivek Ramaswamy brought up last night in his opening statement. The time allotted for him to present his case to be president, he used to attack the media. The narrators, of course, last night, Lester Holt, NBC, Kristen Welker, Hugh Hewlett. Hugh Hewlett got it was almost 40 minutes in before he even got a question in. A lot of complaints about Lester Holt. I'm going to give you some breakdown of my views on Lester before we wrap up. And Kristen Welker, we've already seen her kind of, you know, more liberal than she should be if she's trying to be a legit reporter. But Vivek was not going to stand for it. He wanted to jump in it, and the audience loved it. And at the Westport Playhouse where we were holding our watch party last night, the audience loved it because bashing the media is a reflection of Donald Trump, whether or not some want to admit it. But there is a loss of integrity, certainly journalism, and there's certainly a loss with the public confidence in the media. When I got into this business, a few years ago, right after Marconi invented the radio, maybe a little later than that, but journalists were considered trustworthy, credible. And, of course, the most credible at that time as a news anchor was, you know who it was, Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. But nowadays, it's so hard to section and separate fact from fiction. And when you're being sold a lie versus being told a story with facts. Now, I'll re-impress upon you who have watched me for decades as a news anchor. I'm not trying to be unbiased on this program. It is Larry Connors USA. I do offer opinions, and yet I've had numerous people say, once they started hearing, said, I had no idea you were conservative. I just assumed you were liberal. Anyone in the media had to be liberal until Fox came along. Even then, they've got some questions. But that question right there, yeah, I went right for the gut for the fire. Let's not just ignore the other issues, but that is a prime issue for many Americans. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, November 9th, 2023. The first of 2 hours, Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you. Now, before I jump into the debate, there's been a breaking story earlier today that I want to, well, first of all, Pentagon confirming 4 new attacks on the U.S. forces since Biden ordered airstrikes. We'll get into that in more detail as well also. But here's what I want to put in before we move into debates. A coalition of 18 House Republicans led by GOP Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, Republican, New York, pressing Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm over what she did. What did she do? What did she do? She crossed a line she should not have. Her agency invited foreign adversaries of ours, that would include Communist China, to inspect a sensitive U.S. nuclear testing site. Why on earth would you even think of doing that? And didn't someone along the line say, this is not a good idea, it's not going to look good for us, and it's bad anyway. It's bad for national security. What they've invited is unprecedented access to China and Russia. Unprecedented access to the Department of Energy's national security site in Nevada. This is idiocy, lunacy. You may or may not believe Biden is selling the country out, but at this point he's basically turning it over, giving them the keys if we're going to do this in addition to the open border. All right, to the debate last night. Surprisingly, abortion was not mentioned early, and I say surprisingly because just the night before, Ohio decided to codify in their state constitution the right to have an abortion. Now, a lot of those who voted for that probably also did not realize that issue one in October included parents don't need to be consulted before the abortion, and children can go for transgender surgery, transformation, whatever they choose, without parental knowledge, much less permission. I don't think a lot of folks were aware of that. But when they did get into the abortion issue near the end of the debate last night, the answers were strong and varied.
It was my home state of Ohio. I'm upset about this yesterday that passed a constitutional amendment that now effectively codifies a right to abortion all the way up to the time of birth without parental consent. Why? It's back to that Republican culture of losing.
This is an issue that should be decided in each state. And I trust the people of this country, state by state, to make the call for themselves.
You got to do a better job on these referenda. I think of all the stuff that's happened to the pro-life cause, they have been caught flat-footed on these referenda, and they have been losing the referenda.
And what I'll tell you is, as much as I'm pro-life, I don't judge anyone for being pro-choice, and I don't want them to judge me for being pro-life. So when we're looking at this, there are some states that are going more on the pro-life side. I welcome that. There are some states that are going more on the pro-choice side. I wish that wasn't the case, but the people decided.
The people decided. Now, that's a thumbnail sketch of some of their abortion answers. I'm going to break it down in more detail in a moment. But I want to give you, again, a thumbnail sketch about the other pressing issue on the stage and in our U.S. policy and minds at this point. Our only friend in the Middle East, Israel, and its battle with Hamas and other terrorist groups. So a question was raised first to Nikki Haley, reference to talking to Netanyahu. Let's listen.
What would you do? What would you be urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do?
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish them. Finish them. And the reason is I worked on this every day when I was at the United Nations. And we have to remember that they have to, one, eliminate Hamas, two, support Israel with whatever they need, whenever they need it, and three, make sure we bring our hostages home.
I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas.
I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border, and then I'll tell him, as President of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border.
Not only do you have the responsibility and the right to wipe Hamas off of the map, we will support you, we will be there with you, we'll stand shoulder to shoulder, there will be no daylight.
The fact is that Israel and their intelligence community failed. They failed here, and they failed the people of the state of Israel. And so we need to work closely and better together to make sure, one, that they're degraded, and two, that we know everything that's going on inside Gaza Strip, when it's going on, so that something like this can't happen to kill 1,400 individuals again.
All right, so we had Nikki Haley's response, DeSantis, Vivek, and then Senator Scott, the last one being former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Now, when he said that they failed, Israeli failed, we've discussed that immediately after the event. What happened that they didn't see this, did not actually prepare for it? Had they been lulled into a sense of false security because everything's been quiet? And especially when you had Jake Sullivan of the Biden administration just days before saying everything's peaceful in the Middle East. Do you not think they were sitting around just celebrating and laughing and giggling while they loaded their ammunition, sharpened their knives? Look forward to raping children, women. That's a quick summary of those responses on those issues. Now let's begin to break it down. First with DeSantis on the abortion issue.
Your
we're better off when everybody counts. We're better off when we can promote a culture of life. At the same time, I understand that some of these states are doing it a little bit different. Texas is not going to do it the same as New Hampshire. Iowa is not necessarily going to do it the same as Virginia. So you got to work from the bottom up. You got to do a better job on these referenda. I think of all the stuff that's happened to the pro-life cause, they have been caught flat-footed on these referenda, and they have been losing the referenda. A lot of the people who are voting for the referenda are Republicans who would vote for a Republican candidate. So you got to understand how to do that. But let's just be clear. The Democrats have taken a position. They will not identify the point at which there should be any protection all the way up until birth. That is wrong, and we cannot stand for that.
Yeah, that is the no cross line. If they are going to allow abortion up to the point of birth, no, you don't do that. That's infanticide. Make no mistake about it. Nikki Haley has this approach.
I think you have to be honest with the American people. This is a personal issue for every woman and every man. I am unapologetically pro-life, not because the Republican Party tells me to be, but because my husband Michael was adopted and I had trouble having both of my children. So I'm surrounded by blessings. Having said that, when you look post-Roe, a wrong was made right. They took it out of the hands of unelected justices and they put it in the hands of the people. And now we're seeing states vote. And what I'll tell you is, as much as I'm pro-life, I don't judge anyone for being pro-choice, and I don't want them to judge me for being pro-life. So when we're looking at this, there are some states that are going more on the pro-life side. I welcome that. There are some states that are going more on the pro-choice side. I wish that wasn't the case, but the people decided. But when it comes to the federal law, which is what's being debated here, be honest, it's going to take 60 Senate votes, a majority of the House, and a president to sign it. So no, we haven't had 60 Senate votes in over 100 years. We might have 45 pro-life senators. So no Republican president can ban abortions any more than a Democrat president can ban these state laws. So let's find consensus. Let's agree on what, how we can ban late-term abortions. Let's make sure we encourage adoptions and good quality adoptions. Let's make sure we make contraception accessible. Let's make sure that none of these state laws put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty for getting an abortion. Let's focus on how to save as many babies as we can and support as many moms as we can and stop the judgment. We don't need to divide America over this issue anymore.
Now, the points she's making are very clear, and I've had that discussion with various rights to life proponents saying, if you continue to push no abortion, you're not going to have a win. Now, I don't want to see any child aborted. If you accept the fact that life begins with inception, then you can't do anything to put a stop to it. 15 weeks has been proposed, 22 weeks, heartbeat bill of less, six weeks. But if you recall, Roe v. Wade was considered constitutional law of the land. When it's not in the Constitution, then we lived with it for 50-plus years. So the idea was it's not a federal issue. Senator Tim Scott, though, really wants to put it back as a federal issue.
I'm 100% pro-life. I have had 100% pro-life voting record. I would certainly, as President of the United States, have a 15-week national limit. I would not allow states like California, Illinois, or New York to have abortion up until the day of birth. I certainly would not allow for governors, former governor, Democratic governor of Virginia, who talked about infanticide. We need a 15-week federal limit. 3 out of 4 Americans agree with a 15-week limit. 47 out of 50 countries in Europe agree with a 15-week limit. I would challenge both Nikki and Ron to join me at a 15-week limit. It is in our nation's best interest.
I don't argue his facts as to where the nation stands and so forth, but the point is, if you start pushing a 15-week limit on a federal level and you're ordering states to follow it, you're right back to basically saying it's no longer a state issue. That was the whole thing that was decided by the latest Roe v. Wade case. And, of course, there were a lot of personal fireworks between Vivek and Haley last night. I'm going to go to the next one. She scored major points on that. And we're going to get into more detail later on that. And Vivek, did he make a blunder by moving into that direct? And if you thought that was okay, we'll pass on that one. What about when he then went on the attack against Nikki Haley's daughter?
I want to laugh at why Nikki Haley didn't answer your question, which is about looking at families in the eye. In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Your adult daughter. The next generation of Americans are using it. And that's actually the point. You have her supporters propping her up. That's fine. Here's the truth.
You're just
the easy
scum.
Answer.
She said you're scum at the end.
Well, here's what I would say is that the last debate, I think her exact quote was, I feel dumber every time you speak after the TikTok issue, lecturing families across this country about leaving TikTok. It's not a sin to be on TikTok. The dirty little secret is it's a generational divide. Most people, young people who I meet are. And the alerting moment is even if she's going to talk about TikTok sanctimoniously on stage without mentioning that her own adult family members of the next generation are on it, we're not fixing the problem by just retreating and signaling our virtue.
Yeah, but the issue you're facing there, Vivek, this is something you should learn early in life. You do not mess with Mama Bear's babies. You do not do that. And the question was raised for Haley, what was going through your mind? This is after the debate.
You know, it's just, this is a serious time in our country, and this is not the time that you need to have, you know, these personal hits. My daughter's 25 years old. You know, we've got big issues happening in the world. We've got threats facing us around, you know, at the United States and our friends, and we have to take that seriously. And look, even though it was a personal shot, and it was a shot that wasn't necessary, I think the bigger point is there are big differences between me and Ramaswamy. You know, he doesn't think we should be helping Israel. He thinks that we should let Putin have Ukraine. He's fine with using Taiwan until we have all the chips we need, and then he'll give it out. You know, you look at Ron DeSantis. He says that Ukraine is a territorial dispute. We've got real issues on that debate stage that differentiate us, and that's what I wanted to talk about. You know, he threw a petty shot there. I mean, it says more about him than it does about me.
Not to continue on the personal here, but the microphone caught the words. We heard you say you are scum. Do you want to continue with that today? Do you feel the same way?
I mean, Bill, that was showing a lot of restraint. That's all I'll say. That was showing a lot of restraint.
You know, there is an issue for women, especially in some corral like this, that if she's not tough enough, she appears too soft to hold the job compared to, quote, men. And if she goes too far the other way, she appears B-I-G-E. So there's a thin line to walk. But when it comes to defending family, I stand with her on every point on that. We want to go back over their answers, reference what to do with Netanyahu and a new Democrat candidate entering. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Till I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven and I...
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What would you do? What would you be urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do?
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish them. Finish them. And the reason is I worked on this every day when I was at the United Nations. And we have to remember that they have to, one, eliminate Hamas, two, support Israel with whatever they need, whenever they need it, and three, make sure we bring our hostages home.
I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas.
I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border, and then I'll tell him as President of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border.
Not only do you have the responsibility and the right to wipe Hamas off of the map, we will support you. We will be there with you. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder. There will be no daylight.
The fact is that Israel and their intelligence community failed. They failed here, and they failed the people of the state of Israel. And so we need to work closely and better together to make sure, one, that they're degraded, and two, that we know everything that's going on inside Gaza Strip, when it's going on, so that something like this can't happen to kill 1,400 individuals again.
I want to go back over those responses, reference Netanyahu and the Israeli-Hamas issue, because it is that important, and of course you still have Ukraine in play. And there are additional details that have come out since the debate last night. IDF is showing, the Israeli Defense Force is showing more videos that they say showing, one, that they advanced and seized one of the Hamas bases, that they've also found explosives near rooms of children, that Hamas was using fake ambulance to transport terrorists from one area or the other, thinking, well, we have a Red Cross marking on here. They won't hit it, and we're moving our terrorists. Not civilians, not anyone injured. The injured just have to lie by the side of the road until they decide they'll get around to them, or maybe they won't. And there's also this story. This started surfacing yesterday, but not much was backing it up at the time. The Israeli Prime Minister now demanding answers from several prominent news agencies when criticism came out of their photographers appearing to be embedded with Hamas during the October 7 attacks, during the attack. We're not talking about after war is underway and you have reporters, photographers embedded with troops telling the story as they see it from their location, be it U.S. forces or some other forces. We're talking about they were with them when they went on a terrorist killing spree. They were not a military action group at that time, nor are they now. They're terrorists. In one statement, the National Public Diplomacy Directorate of the Prime Minister's Office demanded action by news agencies. The journalists, they claim in this case, would be accomplices in crimes against humanity and their actions contrary to professional ethics. That goes without saying, but it was stated anyway. If they were taking part in some of these pictures and knowing that they were going on and in fact knew that the attack was coming to be embedded, the Associated Press did release a statement just today talking about we have dropped several freelance reporters, photographers, because we had no foreknowledge, AP had no foreknowledge, although photographers did appear alongside the Hamas terrorists from the moment they broke through the Gaza border fence. The official statement from the AP, we had no knowledge, as the Associated Press, of the attacks before they happened. We got pictures from any freelancer. We were told they were taken with the first hour after the attacks began, or the first pictures we got were an hour later. We're saying no AP staff were at the border at the time of the attacks, nor crossed the border at any time. But we're no longer with, he names a couple. That means nothing to us meanwhile for that, but apparently had been an occasional freelancer for AP and international news organizations in Gaza. I understand being an independent freelance photographer, but being part of that and knowing the attack was coming and you didn't sound the alarm, well, maybe you was not allowed to. Let's take that in consideration. They will kill him and his family if he sounded the alarm early, but they went in there to document it. I'm not trying to make any excuse. I'm just trying to look at all the possibilities. But if he went knowingly, willingly, he's as guilty as a Hamas terrorist. Now, the issue, of course, came up last night about who was not on stage. And the candidates all took their shot at Donald Trump.
Donald Trump's a lot different guy than he was in 2016. He owes it to you to be on this stage and explain why he should get another chance. And he said Republicans were going to get tired of winning. Well, we saw last night, I'm sick of Republicans losing.
Well, I can talk about President Trump. I can tell you that I think he was the right president at the right time. I don't think he's the right president now.
And I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It's a cancer in the Republican establishment.
We need a president and a candidate who will actually help our base solidify and attract independent voters into our party.
Well, and I'll say this about Donald Trump. Anybody who's going to be spending the next year and a half of their life focusing on keeping themselves out of jail and courtrooms cannot lead this party or this country. Right, and it needs to be said plainly.
All right, so there you heard various responses. Going after Trump. In one hand, both Haley and DeSantis saying at one time Trump was the leader, but no longer now. He's not out of touch, not doing the job that I would be able to do. I don't know how many of you agree or disagree. Many in the watch party last night were obviously regretting that Trump was not part of it because they won't see him mix it up with them a little bit. You know where Trump was? He was in Miami just a few miles down the road speaking to a gathering of Cubans.
Somebody said, one of the dumber ones, he doesn't have the courage to stand up. Well, listen, I'm standing in front of tens of thousands of people right now, and it's on television. That's a hell of a lot harder to do than a debate. And it's time for the Republican establishment to stop wasting time and resources trying to push weak and ineffective rhinos and never Trumpers that nobody wants and nobody's going to vote for. I will terminate every open borders policy of the Biden administration. And we will begin the largest domestic deportation operation in American history. And unlike Ron DeSanctimonious, I will always protect Social Security and Medicare. In times like these, you can't afford to have a president who wants to be politically correct. We have to do things properly. We cannot have an administration that takes foreign policy advice from Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib. Can't do that. Can't do that. I kept America safe. I kept Israel safe. I kept Ukraine safe. And I kept the world safe. Israel, Ukraine would have never happened under the Trump administration.
He had a major rally countering the debate last night. You could tell the reaction of the crowd. Obviously, a very friendly crowd, especially those who had been residents of Cuba at one time. They don't want to go back to communist-type regimes. He did talk about exporting students. Ron DeSantis stated the same thing, as did the others on the stage last night. If we have students in these schools, these universities, and they're preaching hate and they're here on a visa, your visa will be revoked and you'll be booted out of the country. They got a good response from everyone. He also talked about closing the border. Well, every one of the ones last night did the same thing too. So here comes another Democrat candidate finally announced. Now, last night, Vivek Ramaswamy was basically telling the Democrats, why don't you tell us Joe Biden is not going to run and who is running so we can actually focus on the issue as opposed to, he didn't say it, but I will, a guy cowering in this corner of his basement bedroom. That's not John Fetterman this time. Jill Stein, who ran a 2016 presidential election, announcing she is running for president again, guaranteeing, quote, the right to living wage job, housing, food, health care, education, and more. Tired of people living paycheck to paycheck, being in medical debt, student debt. She repeated a lot of the same things we heard from Republican candidates last night on the stage. Then she said, but Republicans don't even make such promises in the first place of helping working people, youth, and the climate. Ah, there's where she stepped over the line herself, climate. She said, change not going to come from the ruling elite. It comes from the people. And then she moved farther. She said, we can abolish student and medical debt while creating a Green New Deal to protect Mother Earth. Well, she lost me right there. And she probably lost many she's counting on. But where are the Democrats going to go? Look at this latest survey. This is a recent CNN survey, CNNNN, 81% of Democrats, make sure these are Democrats or swing voters. Well, there's increasing fear among Democrats swing voters would ignore the president's talking points. So I guess they're talking about swing voters. 51%, it's a typo here, 51% said no choice in voting for Biden. 45% said they were a Biden voter. 4% labeled themselves as a potential Biden voter. Now, in contrast, when it came between him and Trump, or just dealing with Trump directly, 48% said there is no chance they're going to vote for Trump. 49% said they were a Trump voter. 2% said they were a potential Trump voter. The plus minus margin of error might still be there. The poll also found Biden and Trump's favorability ratings trending in opposite directions. Biden down 6 points since December 22. Trump up 7 points since 2022. Then you look at the approval rating with Trump at 38%. Who comes in behind him? DeSantis, 27%. Haley, 23%. Vivek, 15%. Chris Christie, 15%. Tim Scott, 16%. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., 31%. And, of course, Pence has left the stage. He's no longer in the running. And we got questions about some of these others, and Vivek polled on this higher on this CNN poll than I'd seen previously, as did Chris Christie. You haven't heard a lot from Chris Christie, but I will tell you this, and I'm going to let you hear more from him later in today's program. He was more solid in many ways than I thought. He looked like almost trying to be the statesman amongst the children on the stage. That might be one way to look at it. Coming up, more on the Vivek-Haley dispute.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let's start with the way you started at the beginning of the debate.
Yeah.
You really came out hot on kind of everybody.
I'm very frustrated with the losing culture in the Republican Party.
Well, you came out, you went after, for our viewers who didn't see the debate, you went after the RNC chair who is hosting you here. You went after the network hosting you here. And pretty much everybody in between. You say you're frustrated, but they're not your opponents.
No, but I think that what I am doing in this race is speaking truth 360 degrees. I've been very critical of the Democratic Party. If you listen to my final words on stage, I think that it's important that the Democrat Party be honest about who the nominee is going to be. I think we all quietly acknowledge it's very unlikely to be Joe Biden. Be honest with the people now.
Be honest with the people now. Now, why I'm going into this, and again, these are kind of the personal issues between Haley and Vivek. They do not like each other. So who cares? You want a leader. I'm not trying to say these flashpoints between the two of them are bigger than the issues. They are not. But I'm trying to show you what's going on inside the Republican Party and the split and the division. If there's not some cohesiveness, it won't really make any difference who runs. If Jill Stein runs for the Democrats, she could well run the way Republicans are scattered right now. They'll either not show up at the polls, which is a real fear I have, or they'll go out on the limb and it'll be the Ross Perot story all over again. If you're not aware of it, you need to study your history and check on that one. But the thing that we discussed earlier, and I want to go back over it because it was a lightning rod type thing. This should be, if you're looking at how you should handle yourselves, not only in a debate, but when you're in a public forum and you've got someone you are battling against, there is a line you should not cross. Vivek did.
I want to laugh at why Nikki Haley didn't answer your question, which is about looking at families in the eye. In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Your adult daughter. The next generation of Americans are using it. And that's actually the point. You have her supporters crapping her up. That's fine. Here's the truth.
You're just
the easy
scum.
Answer.
She said you're scum at the end.
Well, here's what I would say is that the last debate, I think her exact quote was, "I feel dumber every time you speak," after the TikTok issue, lecturing families across this country about leaving TikTok. It's not a sin to be on TikTok. The dirty little secret is it's a generational divide. Most people, young people who I meet are. And the alerting moment is, even if she's going to talk about TikTok sanctimoniously on stage without mentioning that her own adult family members of the next generation are on it, we're not fixing the problem by just retreating and signaling our virtue.
All right, so some of the point he's trying to make is that you've obviously got to walk the talk, and you need to call out when you see things wrong on either side. I'm fully in agreement with that. CNN saw a chance to jump in and chew this up like fresh meat thrown in front of the lions.
What was stunning to me was the amount of vitriol on that stage against one person, particularly from Nikki Haley. She's just had it with him when he talked about her daughter on TikTok and she said, "You're just scum." Those are tough words.
Yeah. You think?
But it was a bad move on his part. I mean, he's just becoming the attack dog, attack dog, attack dog. And as David pointed out, he's going down and down and down in the polls.
That is true. And yet at the same time, maybe he's thinking, well, I saw Trump do that. He was attacking, 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 and it worked. Well, he's going against Hillary Clinton primarily. Yes, he did do in the primary against little Mario's hands and making remarks about Ted Cruz. They've since all patched that up, supposedly. But Vivek is a very smart, intelligent man, and from the beginning I've liked him. But this kind of stuff does not build the consensus he's going to need. And again, as I stated previously, when you start attacking someone's family in any fashion, their ire gets up. It's okay for us to fight between our family ourselves, but don't you dare come into this fight. You're not part of it. I think you all understand that. But Vivek is saying, I have a strategy, and I'm going to stick with it, and I think it's going to win.
To be as aggressive and to come out as hot as you had before, and you just, I mean, everybody went, wow. And I know that was the point of what you did. Mm-hmm. But how do you think that's going to get you enough votes to beat Donald Trump?
So I've actually made a pretty clear decision on how we're approaching this race, certainly for the remainder of it, and it's been for most of this race today. I'm not a political horse race analyst. I think a candidate's at their best when they're not calculating how you're building some sort of patchwork path using effective political slogans to win certain groups, focus grouped or otherwise. We're just not running this campaign that way. I'm unrestrained in speaking what needs to be spoken that the other people are not saying about the Republican Party, about the Democrat Party, about the media. And my bet is that that's going to be the winning political strategy.
And it may well be. And as we began today's program, during his opening statement, he took the shots at the media directly, the moderators, went after them and saying basically that that Hugh Hewlett, Lester Holt, Kristen Welker, all of NBC, that they've all been part of the game to kind of screw the American people around. And if you go through what they call the fact-checking, he's right on point, especially Kristen Welker. But that's where he spent his time in the beginning, not dealing with the other candidates or even what he was going to do for America. But when he went on the attack against state-controlled media, as I call it, or as Trump has said, fake media, he did hit a tone that's resonating with Republicans, conservatives, and probably many Democrats to that extent. I am seeing that today the fourth Republican presidential primary debate is going to be hosted now by, and see, this shows you Vivek was going after NBC, how they carried this story about Russiagate and promoted it. So here's what the RNC, Rona Daniels, decides she better do. They're going to put News Nation will host it, the Megyn Kelly Show, and the Washington Free Beacon newspaper. That's what the Republican National Committee just announced today. Is that against and because of what Vivek said last night? It is a shift away from the establishment media outlets that we saw in the first three debates. So we'll have News Nation anchor Elizabeth Vargas, talk show host Megyn Kelly, Washington Free Beacon editor-in-chief Elena Johnson. They're going to moderate that debate. It's going to be shoehorned in on December 6th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So in that case, if Vivek could be seen as at least forcing them to reevaluate who they're going to put up there as moderators, he won a point that everyone should be able to benefit from. Now, Chris Christie, what kind of impact did he have last night? I haven't really let you hear anything from him because in many cases, kind of milquetoast, almost like he was, as they said, trying to be the statesman, but sometimes you can just be the dour old guy that just doesn't have anything really to add, and so you just kind of, you're acting like you're taking the high road, and you're really just taking the safe road. That's my view of his impact. But I want you to hear yourself, and you make your vision, your evaluation, your opinion. And also the closing remarks of Senator Tim Scott, which he was very weak in the beginning, but he caught fire near the end, and in fact his closing remarks should echo through the land.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm running for President of the United States because I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing the division. I'm tired of seeing the anger. And I can see in the eyes of Americans their exhaustion. Their exhaustion from the petty personal politics that have taken over this country over the last number of years. I'm running for president to be a president of consequence, to do the big things, to make sure that America's role in the world stays number one, that we stand up for our friends and allies around the world, and we stand up for what we believe in right here at home. And it's not to eliminate our differences. Our differences has always been our strength as a country, not our weakness. But you can't truly say you love America unless you're ready to open up your heart to every American. I'm going to open up my heart to every American as president, and I will make sure that I return honesty, integrity to the Oval Office. We deserve and should accept nothing less.
That's the clip I thought where Chris Christie, former New Jersey governor, was at his strongest, his closing remarks. And I think he hit on several points that a lot of Americans will buy. I don't think they are going to buy Chris Christie, but some of what he said, they certainly agree with. So if you picked a winner, or any winner from last night, did you hear anyone say anything that would change your mind or lock you in more? Or was your candidate not even on the stage? You know who I'm talking about. I want to give you a review from the Hill publication that covers D.C. and how they rate the candidates last night. Talking about winners, they begin by saying Nikki Haley. Then the quote, "You're just scum." They say it's an unlikely line with which to win a debate, but it was easily the most memorable moment from Wednesday night, and it's going to dominate news coverage, as obviously it has here. And it was a disastrous misjudgment from Ramaswamy, and Haley's scornful response will surely resonate with many viewers, especially parents. And again, they say she showed herself to be the most accomplished debater in the field. She's had two previous strong encounters previously that helped her. Now, after three debates, the Hill ranks her, Nikki Haley, 3-0. Now, as I said earlier, with a woman, and I'm being very candid with you here, and you know what exists in your office space, environments, and things of this nature? If a woman looks to be a pushover, too soft, well, she's not tough enough to be CEO. But if she's firm and strong in her opinions, and she is running a part of the country or the company, well, then she is one of those B words, you know? No, it's not BB. B-I-E-C or something like that. Not a dog biscuit, if that's what you were thinking. When it came to Ron DeSantis, the Hill said DeSantis has not had a happy campaign. He's been drifting down, had to lay off staff, And I got another story here that says it's going to get worse for him. They say he did not have a single transformative moment last night, but it was his best debate performance. And then they talk about the NBC News and moderators, say the debate was relatively orderly, substantive, thanks in part to moderation from Lester Holt. And I told you earlier to make some remarks about Lester Holt. I've met him in person once decades ago, maybe 15 years ago, covering a tornado that hit a central Illinois town, severe damage, deaths, and so forth. So the networks came in. And I'm waiting to interview someone, and Lester Holt is too, but he turns and looks to me and he says, "You need to get this before I do to get it on your ear." And I said, "Well, it would help." And he said, "Well, you go ahead." So very classy, stepped aside, let a local reporter do his thing so then he can go do his for the network later. That's been really my only contact with him. But I've watched him as a news anchor, and he's often been, I haven't watched him enough, maybe you've watched him more, often appeared to be pretty close to middle. Might lean left, but pretty close to middle. And then the issue was with Kristen Welker. She's already been criticized several times. So they're picking Haley is a winner, DeSantis is slipping, and then when it comes to Christie, they say, always difficult, not showing much change really one way or the other. Took a few fewer swings at Trump, and then says among the losers, it would be Vivek. Won the attack on Daley's daughter was the most obvious, showing him to be obnoxious. And then the other bad moment when he called the Ukrainian President Zelensky a Nazi. Tim Scott, Senator Scott, so far failing to come close to meeting high hopes. I will have to agree with that. I was hoping he'd do more. He did not do it. So now they're talking even louder that now he's got to step out of the race. Pence obviously recognized there's no way I can hold the water against even the group that we've got left now. And they're all at this point basically vying for second place when you get down to it. But Trump has already said, I wouldn't take a single one of them. Before I tell you about the latest development that's going to affect DeSantis and possibly Trump, I want you to hear your remarks from Scott on the fact of what I think we do need in this country more often, faith.
There is a crisis that is growing in our nation, and that crisis is cultural and spiritual. We need a renewal, a great awakening. We should reject the left's valueless, faithless, fatherless society. We should turn back to faith, patriotism, and individual responsibility. We should stop choosing victimhood and start choosing victory. We should stop kneeling in protest and start kneeling in prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, one final note for you before we close out this hour. Robert Bigelow has been a big mega donor for Governor Ron DeSantis. He appears to be switching his loyalty, saying he's now identifying as pro-Trump. That's not going to help DeSantis. So DeSantis is going to face more troubles inside his campaign. And it's going to add probably to the coffers of Donald Trump. So now we'll see what happens with the fourth and last debate that will be coming up December 6th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But I would like to quote Senator Scott again. We need to be on our knees more and remember our pledge. One nation under God.